we will also hear from Jesus, the last prophet.
So the first reading is from Amos, chapter 7, verses 7 to 17. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, said to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock. And the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be parceled out by line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land.
Cheerful, hey.
Yeah, right.
Second, those are those dire consequences.
They are. This one's a little more cheerful. Optimistic. From Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 28. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live.
Thank you very much, Lynn, and welcome back. We're glad that you had safe travels abroad and that you are with us again. Friends, as you can see from the front of your service bulletin, that today we continue with our second of three sermons in our series entitled Our Local Prophets, wherein we delve into the ecclesiastical biography of some of our church's former ministers. It means I have been able to spend my week in the church repository, combing the archive of our church for nuggets of wisdom and truth. While we look at the legacies of our ministers, we also examine the lives of biblical prophets. Finally, if you have not yet noticed, I also make all of us walking down memory lane, I make us try to realize the relevancy of today's issues by touching upon current events. Last week, you'll remember we examined Elisha's healing of Naaman, which we linked to the Reverend Milton Stacy Satz's stand on the unjust internment of Japanese Americans in World War II. And we concluded from this that our God is universal, that God transcends national and racial boundaries and does not exclude anyone from the kingdom. And we related their times with ours, and we read with surprise and shock in our newspapers these past weeks of our country's crisis on the southern border. We remembered that the Hebrew scriptures command that, quote, the foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. And from Jesus, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. For our sermon series, there are sort of lots of prophets and lots of stories from which to choose. Last week was Elisha. This week, I really thought about possibly preaching on Elijah. I don't know if you've heard about this joke about Elijah, but there was a Sunday school teacher who was carefully explaining the story of the prophet Elijah and the false prophets of Baal. And she explained how Elijah built the altar and then put wood on it and then cut the cattle, the beef, in pieces and laid it upon the altar. And then Elijah commanded the people of God to fill 4 barrels of water, do you remember? And to pour it all over the altar. And he had them do this 4 times. Now, the Sunday school teacher asked, can anyone in the class tell me why the Lord would have Elijah pour water over the cattle on the altar? And the little girl in the back of the room raised her hand with great enthusiasm, and she said, to make gravy. That's not how the story went. It was a good twist, though. But this week, we examine the prophet Amos. Amos lived during the reign of King Jeroboam II. And what is important for us to know is that the prophet Amos preached during a time of great prosperity in Israel. In other words, the economy was great. The Dow was up, and the NASDAQ and the market were roaring. People were making profits, and thus lots of money. But Amos argued that Israel was not doing well in God's sight, despite the economic prosperity that was being enjoyed in the nation. Amos accused the nation of selling righteousness for silver, selling morality, selling ethics for money. Much was being sacrificed for a good economy. Amos preached that though many people were getting rich and living well, they did so by oppressing the poor. Back deals were being made. Bribes were being taken. Today we perhaps call that corporate lobbying, and it happens no matter what administration we are in. Amos cried that the needy were being pushed aside at the gate. The story of Amos the prophet claims that God desired to punish Israel for failing to structure society by God's standards of justice and righteousness. And then Amos pleaded, much like Moses did, for God not to be so harsh. And God basically relented and said, I'm setting up a plumb line by which I and the nation can judge in the future whether your society is healthy by my standards. As we learned during a children's lesson, a plumb line is a weight that hangs from a string. And as I understand it, gravity causes the string to hang at a perfect 90-degree angle. And if held against a wall of a structure, it can be judged if that structure is straight, justified, and centered, or if it is crooked. A wall can be standing. It can even bear weight. But if it is crooked, it is not stable. God presented a plumb line and told Amos and the Israelite nation, if the most vulnerable in your land are not cared for, if they have not adequate housing, education, health care, and justice, then your society is sick, and the consequences will be dire. Now, let's go to local prophets. And I had to get an 1865 calendar to do this. On Friday, April 15, 1865, the President of the United States of America was assassinated in Ford's Theater. Early the next morning, that Saturday, he died at about 7:30. On Wednesday, just 2 or 3 days later, on April 19th, the minister of Center Congregational Church, the Reverend George Tyler, delivered, quote, a discourse on the death of President Lincoln. Now, this is just an aside. Reverend Tyler was the only minister of our church to have been raised in our church to later become the minister of our church. That's just an interesting little footnote. The Vermont Record, which I don't think exists anymore, it's an old newspaper, the Vermont Record announced that on Sunday, April 23rd, quote, all places of public business will be closed at noon and remain so until the close of the funeral services to be held at that hour in honor of President Lincoln at the Center Church. All of the churches of Brattleboro came to Center Congregational Church for this funeral. On Sunday, April 23rd, the Reverend Dr. Tyler will preach a funeral discourse. The various religious congregations in town are expected to unite with that of Center Church in this service. Unquote. Another aside. May I also mention that the War Department gave instructions to Brattleboro in regard to the firing of guns, which were scheduled to be fired on every half hour from sunrise to sunset on that same day. also fascinating. This is when the historian in me comes out. Also fascinating is that Frederick Douglass, a world-renowned, as it was known then, colored orator, was scheduled to deliver a lecture on Tuesday, April 25th. However, the chaos that was caused by Lincoln's assassination in New York City prevented Frederick Douglass from traveling from New York City to here. But he was supposed to lecture here on the Tuesday after the Reverend gave the funeral sermon on Sunday. That's enough of the trivia, but I just wanted you to know that, hey, way back in 1865, Center Church was still pretty center. I recently watched the epic history series produced by Ken Burns about the Civil War. I don't know if any of you have seen it. In it, what is often referred to as the United States' original sin was slavery and racism. Even our Constitution was, in part, evil, for it declared black human beings, like my daughter, only 3/5 human. Why? Well, the white Southerners wanted to count those enslaved, who, of course, had no representation, but they wanted them to count as if they were people who, in part, were represented. This so-called compromise was a lie, and it was piled on top of hypocrisy, which was piled on top of a sin. The plumb line from the very beginning, from our Constitution, was crooked. Arguably, if we place the sin of cultural and physical genocide and theft against Native Americans on top of the sin of racism and slavery, there is an argument whether there was even a line which a plumb could measure. On Wednesday, April 19th, quote, a portrait of Mr. Lincoln was suspended in the alcove behind the pulpit, and it was surmounted with a wreath of laurel. That's here at Center Church. A handsome bouquet, and Heidi, please help me with this, a handsome bouquet of arbutus flowers. Does anybody know what arbutus flowers are? Okay, and another laurel of white roses in evergreen were placed in front of the pulpit. In his eulogy of Abraham Lincoln, our own minister spoke of how the plumb line of the United States was crooked from the beginning. The Reverend Tyler preached in this church how the blood of 600,000 people was shed during the Civil War because of the crooked plumb line that was the United States of America from its founding. In his eulogy, Tyler spoke of Lincoln as a prophet. Permit me to quote. His words in his sermon are far more beautiful than mine, so I'm going to quote him. Lincoln must have often thought of the multitudes of men, women, and little ones doomed to bear a lifelong sorrow to the grave. Lincoln saw this evil, saw it persisted in, glorified in, by many. Every day he contended with men who for the bad objective of enslavement of the blacks, were ready to sacrifice any number of whites. Day by day, Lincoln saw these rebel leaders, readily supported by multitudes of kindred spirit, falsehood the most foul, knavery the most unblushing, cruelty the most unrelenting, making a chapter of history darker with crime than was ever before written by man." Unquote. Friends, the sin persists from our nation's founding until today. Even after the Civil War, through Reconstruction during Ulysses S. Grant's term as president, blacks in the South were imprisoned by the tens of thousands for loitering, having neither homes nor employment. It was the beginning of the mass incarceration of people of color in this country. Jim Crow laws were legislated, keeping blacks down. Segregation was instituted. And even today, the United States incarcerates the largest percentage of its population as compared with any other nation on earth, including totalitarian regimes such as China and Russia. We incarcerate more of our own citizens than even Russia or China. At the end of Tyler's sermon, he quoted Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. And I conclude with Lincoln's quote. "Fondly do we hope, reverently do we pray, that this scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet if God wills that it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondsman's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn by the sword, as was said 3,000 years ago, still must be said that, quote, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether," unquote. Friends in Christ, Amos's words were understood to be too hard to hear when the economy was good and so many were prosperous. Many in the United States could not tolerate Lincoln's words and deeds, and he was assassinated. May we as a people, in this day and age, choose to obey our prophets. And that's prophets with a PH, not our prophets with an F. This is the word of God, and it was preached to the people of God, and the people of God responded. Amen.